Well, we've got a very special guest speaker today, someone who is no stranger to our body as a whole. He'll tell you a little bit more about his life story, but it's someone that many of us know and love, Mr. Randy Ford. So please put your hands together. Mr. Randy Ford, coming on down.
Well, thank you, Dane. Thanks for being here this morning. It's a pleasure to be with you. Tell you a little bit about me, and then we'll talk a little bit about just kind of a story and some things that God's done in my life. And so I hope to be an encouragement this morning, and that my words and my story will be impactful. But more importantly, that we do this together. And we have table time, we have discussion. So my story began with Northwest in 1987. Some would call it an arranged marriage, not with my wife, but because the young lady I was dating at the time, her parents were going here, Roger and Jenny Adamson. And so I knew if I wanted to get to the heart of them, get the approval of them, that I probably started needing to go into church here. So Northwest was chosen by me, and I'm thankful it was. I grew up in a small Methodist church, about 300 people. So this idea of coming to a Bible church with a couple thousand people on campus was a little overwhelming at first. Started going to the Berean class and attending service, actually in this room for some of you, Jerry, some longtime members here. This is where we did Sunday service. Berean class was held at that time in a building that's no longer on campus. So a lot of change here. Been here a long time through a lot of that change. Good change. Continue the story. So the marriage did happen. Kim and I got married in 1988. We had three daughters that were born in 89, 93, and 94. All grew up here at this church, collectively raised by some of you that were here during those times. And so this was our home. This was really important to our family. Wednesday nights, Sunday, our girls, our daughters, friends outside of church, or friends away from here, a lot of them were from here. So this was very significant. So a quick fast forward to, this is us today. So we got married in 1988. This picture has three grandchildren in it. This is the obligatory, 30A beach photo that, a lot of us have. This was last summer. We're blessed 6 weeks ago with another grandson. So there's four grandchildren now, in the family. And this is my work. I spent a lot of time here in D.C. for the last 30 years trying to convince these ladies and gentlemen to make good decisions on behalf of the citizens of the United States. Anyone have an easier job? So that's kind of my work life. I'm still working at it. So I've done a lot of things. Advance it. There we go. Done a lot of things here at Northwest over the years. Worked in children's ministry, changed diapers in the nursery, moved chairs around and tables, and just done a lot of events. Just been really blessed by our presence here at Northwest all those years. But probably one of my most enjoyable things is I've been on the outreach committee, the missions committee for Northwest. Since 2012, and it all started by going to lunch with Neil and Brant Wright, and they said, we want to have a new high investment area and take people to Africa. So, okay, great. Well, who's going to do that? You are. Okay? Probably the most ill-equipped person in the room, but it's been an incredible blessing to be part of our outreach committee and to get to know our missionaries that we support all over the world, and to take people from the body. We've taken many people, many trips to Africa, so it's been a real joy for me as part of Northwest. You may recognize that guy sitting on the top there, Lonergan. Only Lonergan would find himself on top of a Land Cruiser in South Sudan. Didn't even have to ask him twice to do that, but that's how he posed for the picture. So that's just a little bit about me and my time here at Northwest. You know, the opening slide was, who will you trust? But I'm going to take a little bit of a spin on that and share a little story, and that is, you do next slide. Who will I trust? So I was faced with this question, and I'm sure many of you have been in trials in certain situations. So 2016, I was in D.C. on a business trip, and I woke up in the middle of the night, violently ill, room spinning. Actually went to some meetings the next day, flew home, saw my doctor. I wasn't the typical male that waited a couple days. I actually went to my doctor that next morning. He says, you're having vertigo. I said, okay, that's what I thought. Otherwise, perfectly good health. Everything was good. I was fine. If you remember Neil's, we're fine, we're all fine. I was fine. Got home, had another event the next morning. My wife called my doctor, said, Randy can't get up off the floor, room spinning, vomiting frequently. Off to the emergency room we went. Couple tests, I couldn't hardly hold my head up. Nurse comes in, we have to admit him immediately, he's had a couple strokes. Wow, that was that hit to the face. Strokes, me, it was fine. So I found myself in the hospital bed the first night, and I was, guys, I was over here in the flesh. I was, woe is me, how did this happen to me, what can I do, I've lost control, I was healthy. I was really operating in the flesh. And I laid in that hospital bed. I was by myself. My wife had gone home to get stuff because this was a shock to all of us. And I said, all right. I started praying. Lord, you got to help me here. Help me pivot from the flesh to trusting in you. And I... You know, I would, if you would have stopped me in the hallway out here a week or two before this happening and said, hey, something really traumatic is about to happen in your life, you know, well, you'll trust in God, right? You'll just give it all to him. And I probably would have said, yeah. Yeah, I'll do that. Intellectually, I'm going to a Bible church for 30 years. I've been doing this, been in the Word, been doing all those things. Sure, that would be easy. It was a saying, kind of in military, you don't really know who the soldiers are until you're in the foxhole and the bullets are flying. Well, those bullets were flying that night. And so I laid there and I knew that in the flesh I was going to fail. I couldn't process this. I couldn't get out of it. And I prayed. And I've never had a feeling, a sensation like this ever. But the Holy Spirit literally came into that room. I didn't hear voices. But he said, Randy, I got this. I got this. You just be a good patient. You're going to be okay. I got this. Wow. I just remember 50 pounds of weight just coming off my shoulders. The release of that from being in the flesh to giving it to him was an incredible experience. And my wife, told her about the next morning, and of course, our wives, they're smarter than us. She said, well, of course, that's what you should have done, is prayed and given it to him. I said, yeah, but I was still over here, trying to fix it and fight it and anxiety and all that. And So that was the first night in the hospital. 4 or 5 days go by. I'm doing better. People come visit here from the church. Prayer, and I'm like, you know, I'm a day from getting out of here. Had another stroke while I was in the hospital, which I didn't think was possible. Like, I'm all wired up, and this one was pretty significant. I couldn't swallow, couldn't feel my right arm, felt like a pillow was on top of my face, and that immediately got me up a couple floors to ICU, and more testing, and this stroke actually came physically very close to my, where all the nerves, the cerebral cortex, right, where all kind of the nerves kind of terminate at the base of the brain. So my strokes were all in my cerebellum, the back of my brain. One thing about strokes, you're probably saying, gosh, Randy, this guy's had 3 strokes, you're able to walk around and able to speak. The thing with strokes is it's all about where it lands in your brain. You know, if it lands in the frontal part or areas that control your speech, you know, you see people that are limping or can't speak well. Mine was all in the back, so I didn't have balance, hence the vertigo kind of sensation. Anyway, so the ICU doctor told my wife, he said, yeah, this, like, we'd be having a really different conversation if it would've happened that much closer. Probably looking at a quadriplegic husband. So, processing that news, but you know, guys, I was okay, because I knew he was in control. I had, that first night in the hospital, I had given that up. I'd given up trying to, you know, for me to process it or rely on it. So, as things got worse, I was okay, only because of him, just because of the prayer and just giving it to him and others praying and. My neurologist came by second day in ICU. This is another just neat thing. You know, it's great to be in prayer. It's great to be prayed for. And the neurologist came in and he said, your daughters are in the waiting room for ICU, and there's a whole bunch of their friends in there. They got their Bibles open, and they're praying for their dad. Well, as a father, to know that, you know that John's praying for me, that's wonderful. But to know that your girls are there and they got their friends, their Bibles are open. Try to raise them up that way, but you just don't know, right? And that was really impactful. And that, so just knowing that all these people were praying for me, that I had given all this to him, was just really, really remarkable feeling. So the story does end pretty well. I'm here. Got out of IC after a couple days. I got tired of, you know, eating the jello through the straw. I gradually kind of got my swallowing back. And it's great. We got Whataburger here this morning because I was really hungry. And so some friends, pretty sure this is the first and maybe has never happened since, some friends have people cook a Whataburger for me into ICU, because after the second day, I could have people come in, and they got me a Whataburger. And so I took little pieces of that Whataburger. ICU all hooked up, you know. Feeling starting to, I'd eat with my left hand, right-handed. Right hand was still a little disabled, but I had a Whataburger. Sidebar story there. But you know, I would tell you, too, that, again, intellectually I knew, felt prepared. I knew Scripture. Been coming here. I mean, Northwest and all the things I've been involved with here, men's ministry and small groups and Bible study, prepared me for that time. It was up to me to trust it. And it didn't happen right away. I'd be lying if I just, I got in that hospital and, all right, God, here we go. Don't really like your sense of humor here. But it took some time for me to pivot to that. But when I did, it was a remarkable experience, and very impactful. So, do next slide. So while I was in the hospital in the bed, a lot of verses just kept coming to me, and I was, just trying to find my way and justify. This was one of my favorite ones, James 1, consider it pure joy when you're in a trial. It's one of my favorite couple of verses in the Bible. I separated these on purpose because I think, again, if we're in the flesh, kind of human reaction, particularly guys, we're in a trial, we want to punch our way out, right? We want to fight our way out, we want to figure it out, we want to pay our way out, or we want to negotiate our way out. We want to do something when we're in our trial. But I would tell you that if you rest in the trial and you listen to what God is teaching you, the trial's worth it. And that's how then we get perseverance. It produces perseverance. So that was an important scripture for me when I was in the hospital. I was also, you know, God was just putting different things. John 15, you know, I said, all right, Lord, you're trimming my branches here. Not sure I really enjoy this, but my branches are getting trimmed here. And allow me, hopefully, to get out of here so I can be fruitful again. So that was another verse that I just kind of rested in. Also songs. I'm a big music guy. I'll praise you in the storm. Counting Crowns. I will praise you in the storm. I just kept singing that over and over again in my mind. So again, I can't emphasize just the peace I had in that. And I know some of you. I know some of your stories in this room. I know you've had struggles and trials. And guess what? We're all probably going to be facing them again, right? Right? So to be mentally prepared, to be spiritually, more importantly, spiritually prepared is where God's grown us. Our branches are being pruned, getting ready to bear fruit. So I would encourage you as you, because we're either probably in a trial, about to go in a trial, or we've come out of one. And trials can have different magnitude, right? But to be spiritually prepared for the trials, to sometimes rest in the trial and learn and grow perseverance is a good place when you come on the other side of that trial, that learning from that is a good place to be. I can tell you, again, from my own experience, the more I've fought my way out of a trial, the less I've learned from it, the more miserable I've been. And guess what? It didn't work out too well. Next slide. This is, of course, kind of Ephesians theme, if you will, acting and walking in the flesh or with him who is infinitely able. Just another verse that kind of came to me and helped me. Another thing, one thing that I enjoy doing a lot is backpacking, mountain climbing all over the West. And when I was in the hospital, it's like, wow, am I ever going to be able to do this again? I've done trips with Neil. I've been part of his stories. I'll keep some of those stories here. Slogging him up a mountain or each other. But anyway, so as I recovered, I walked with a cane for about 8 weeks. I went through physical therapy place, had a gymnasium. I used to play a lot of basketball. I said, well, because I was kind of like this. I said, well, my goal, I talked to my physical therapist, if I can shoot 3 free throws in a row, can I get out of here? I know it's a little warped, but she's like, you know, I've never had that asked before, but if you're able to put down your cane and stand at a free throw line and make free throws, that's a pretty good, we can check that off, you're probably good to go. So I made my free throws, I recovered, got back mostly physically, and I was like, you know, I'd really, Lord, if it's your will, I'd really love to get back in the mountains, get a pack on my back, and go. So 2019, I went to Colorado and I climbed a 14er. And went a little slower than I did as a younger man and prior to the strokes. But all cleared through my doctor, by the way. Told him I was going to do it. He said, well, just hydrate. And I think you'll be fine. So that was, you know, that was just a huge blessing to be able to be back doing something. You know, I could have been the golf course, you know, whatever your hobbies are. It was just great to, you know, for God to allow me to get back to that place. And again, I'm fully aware that my stroke story is pretty unique. Some of you probably have family members, friends, coworkers, whatever, they've gone through a stroke, and they were not able to be able to go do that again. So an incredible blessing. But let me tell you the other thing why I show this picture. This gave me a platform. Guys, our trials can give us platforms. We've all heard, make your mess your ministry. As soon as I did that, I texted out that picture to probably about 30 people. A lot of people I work with in D.C. that are everything from atheists to all over the place. And it gave me an opportunity to talk about Jesus, to share my faith, talk about God's grace. That was my text. You know, through God's grace, I was able to get, it's mostly people that knew I did a lot of this before my strokes. So God's grace gave me the opportunity to get back on the mountains again. And usually the conversation would go one or two ways. Oh, really, Randy, that's great. Tell me more. Tell me more about that faith stuff. Or, hey, well, that's great about that faith stuff, but what mountain was that? So that's okay. We've all had those conversations, right? But it's given me an opportunity still. I sent this photo out. I was talking to somebody about 2 months ago. I said, yeah, after this. So how you doing after your strokes and stuff? I said, well, that gives me an opportunity to tell my story. So again, prior to 2016, you know, I really didn't know, faced with those bullets flying, God putting me in that foxhole, I didn't know how I'd respond. But look how he's come through. Look how he cured me and gave me a platform to have conversations about Jesus. And you guys can all do the same thing. I'm sure some of you are doing it too. So through trial, perseverance, don't be afraid to share it. The older I've gotten, I think reflection's a great thing, particularly for us guys. I realize there are definitely, you know, opportunities and doors that God opened for me earlier on. I was busy raising a family. You know, nah, not that. No, Neil, I'm not going to Africa. The more I started saying yes, the more opportunities that he created for me, it multiplies. It multiplies. So I would encourage you to walk through those doors, have those conversations, about Jesus. Whatever it is, work situation, marriage, whatever it is that you might come through, take advantage of that. Lastly, Neil's been talking about this, cultivating submission. As I did a little bit of research or reading on this, I was like, yeah, that submission, getting to that submission point is freedom. It's incredible freedom to have that complete submission to him. So a desire to honor God's will, practicing trust, humility, and obedience. And so as I look back now, I'm thankful that I had a God that stepped into my life that helped me practice this obedience, that then gave me a platform to share. Again, it could. So whatever your hospital bed is, again, it could be a work situation, could be a relationship with kids. Wherever God has you, whatever that situation is, trust that he will bring you through. Let go, trust, pray, and grow. And lastly, share that experience. That's been my experience, and it's amazing. If it was up to me to design this, this is a work project, I would have failed miserably. But when I let go and started trusting him, it's just made a profound impact and still is. So Because real men pray, we're getting an opportunity to do that right now. John, would you come on up? So I'm sure all of you know John Gadisa. John and I served together before he went off to Elder World. We served together on the outreach committee for a number of years, and so just really enjoyed getting to know John and our relationship and friendship. And he was sharing with me a couple weeks ago. Some of you may or may not know, but John's facing his health challenge and situation right now. So just wanted him to share a little bit about what's going on, and then we'll close in praying for John. Okay.
Awesome. Randy, thank you, guys. Great.